escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I feel like over the last few days it's been injury central, but nothing is serious. Where Justin Fields gets carted off the field. Okay, dislocated toe. Juan Soto fouls a ball off his foot. Oh, it's okay. He's fine. It's just a contusion. You know, Aaron Judge has to leave a game because of an elbow soreness. That'll be fine. It's just going to be a short stint on the IL. Malik Nabers, shoulder injury. No, it's okay. He's going to be fine. So I'm hoping that all of these things work out the way that everybody tells us they're going to work out. But boy, has it been nerve-wracking with the initial news of all these stars who have had something happen to them. And we still don't know the full extent of Juan Soto. He doesn't seem to be bothered by it, but... And the x-rays were negative, which were great. But we'll find out more about that today. Maybe he has to take a couple days off at most. But the Malik Nabers thing yesterday, you want to talk about certain guys you can't be without. I mentioned Andrew Thomas. I mentioned Dexter Lawrence. Malik Nabers is right in that conversation
Brian
as well.
Brian Burns, Abdul Carter. I guess you could say Kayvon Thibodeau as well.
Oh, come on. You could be without him.
Well, the thing about him is that he's going to be motivated by the presence of Abdul Carter. And... however they decide to use the three of those guys, if they have them all three on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
And if they're as good as we think they can be. Phil came in here last Friday when you guys were over playing golf in Jersey, and he was talking about just what the defensive line looked like and how quick both Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, actually all three, Kayvon Thibodeau and Abdul Carter are. You know, they're going to be, he believes they will be better. But then, you know, he's obviously an ex-Giant. He wants them to do well. And it's really going to come down to whether or not this offense can put points on the board, especially like, and I tell people this all the time. I know Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are veterans. They've been around. They understand the game. They know what's going on. But you can't recreate a game on the road in the first week knowing everything that everybody's going to be reacting to, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So when Russell was, you know, building his career in Seattle, he had a lot of good offensive teams. They had a great defense. They had Marshawn Lynch. He was throwing the ball down the field, and it was really, like, easy for him as he eased his way into his NFL career. And then it just became second nature to go out and run an offense that he had run his entire career. Now, in his third or fourth different offense in 4 years, it's not easy to step out on the field that first game and expect to be spot on with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because of the experience and learning these offenses, he's got to have some sort of, you know, I don't want to say tricks, but he's done it before. It's not like a guy who's in one offense forever. Like, think about, you know, Kirk Cousins got so comfortable, you know, with Kevin O'Connell and the way that Kevin O'Connell was doing things, and all of a sudden it's totally upside down. Brian Daboll's no dummy. Brian Daboll's going to figure out exactly how to put Russ in the situations he needs to be in.
I'm not saying that coaches aren't dummies. They're certainly not. They want to put them, the object of the coach is to put...
Dummy. You had a dummy coach.
Well, but the object of the coach is to put the player, no matter what position they play, in the best position to be successful. And that's what Aaron Glenn was talking about when it was when he was talking about Will McDonald yesterday. He's like, look, man, this is all about coaching. We're teaching him new things. We're coaching him new things. He's open to being coached, and he wants to be good, and we're trying to get him to be the best player he can be. So, you know, it's interesting because in that documentary, the quarterback documentary with Kirk Cousins, he's talking about going to Atlanta and trying to figure out their offense. And Atlanta loves to run an offense that says a lot of motion, a lot of shifting. And he even said in that documentary there are 45 or 46 different ways to move people in your offense. And they didn't do that in Minnesota. They had some movement, but not a lot. And most quarterbacks, like Aaron Rodgers, hates movement. Yeah. He wants to line up, he wants to see the defense, and he wants to go quick. I used to love doing that. I didn't like the shifting and the moving and the motioning and all that other crap. I wanted to get to the line of scrimmage, and I wanted to go fast. And because I always felt like we knew when the ball was going to be snapped, we could try to disguise our formations and our groupings and our personnel groupings on the field just by the way we substitute and quickly substitute, almost kind of like a hockey team.
Yeah.
And get ready and know the play before it comes in. And I saw Kirk Cousins struggle. And I saw him call his head coach and basically said, hey, I'm not playing well. I don't know what's going on here, but I need to understand how I can play better. You know, and then he's calling Raheem Morris and leaving a voice text that way.
Right.
I was shocked. I mean, that's something for Raheem Morris to say to him as opposed to him saying it to Raheem Morris. Look, I need you to be better. What can we do to help you to be better? And how can you be better? What would be the best thing for us to do? And the thing that I would say from Kirk Cousins' standpoint would be simplify it. Let's simplify it so I can just kind of get into a rhythm with these guys and understand where everybody's going. Because at this point, even though you're paying me $50 million a year, I'm still not sure about what everybody's doing on the field.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, tomorrow we're going to talk to Brian Daboll. We got requests out for a bunch of guys, bunch of players, and it's going to be a great day at Giants camp. What I'm really interested in, you know, this is the first time that we're going to be going in 5 years, 6 years without Daniel Jones being the quarterback. And now we got veteran quarterbacks in there. We got a different feel of what's it going to be. And we're not talking about Daniel Jones or to take the next step or build off of last year and all of that stuff. So that's going to be interesting. But also, you know, I feel like we always show up to Jets camp, you know, with the new regimes and say, you know, it feels different around here this year. It shouldn't feel all that different with the Giants because it's still Brian Daboll's world. But it at the same time, you know, they got a lot of influx of new players and personalities and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and all these guys, Jackson Dart, the future. I mean, there's a lot of changes.
If you think of the three rookies that can change the dynamic of the team, that would be Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter, and Cam Scataboo. And then sprinkle in the rest of the rookies and hopefully, you know, most of those guys are going to make it. But I feel like Joe Shane has finally, within the last 3 years, has basically got players that he wants on this team.
Yeah.
As opposed to inherited players that he didn't want to keep. And it took a while to get rid of them, including Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Well, he was the biggest one. And there's also, you know, guys that they have drafted in this regime that they have given a load of opportunities to because they're their guys. Kayvon Thibodeau being one, Evan Neal being another. I mean, if Evan Neal was drafted by Dave Gettleman, do you think that Evan Neal would still be here? Probably not. But they're going to give him every opportunity.
They let Saquon Barkley go.
Yeah, you're right. 100%.
If you could let Saquon Barkley go, you could let anybody go.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
Especially for the amount of money that they were talking about.
Yep.
And both, you know, I was telling Phil, a little bit unprecedented, whether it be the Jets signing their two young Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, they're two young players that are supposed to be leaders before they had to. That's a little bit unprecedented. And then the other thing is that both Baltimore and Philadelphia ripped up the contracts of their running backs and gave them new money.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley.
Well, yeah. I mean, Saquon couldn't have made out any better than he did.
Did Derrick Henry make it any better?
Yeah. No, sure.
I mean, he was great. He was a great addition to that Baltimore offense.
No, he was, but, you know, Super Bowl.
And by the way, you know, I did ask Phil, I said, so who's your, like, your best team? He goes, I believe that, and I think he said this, Baltimore, he believes, has the best roster.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Oh, you did hear him say it?
Yeah.
Hard to argue. He also
thinks that the Chargers are going to be very good this year.
Well,
but can they overcome the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what, I mean, we know their roster is good. We know both sides of the ball. Just Justin Herbert in the playoffs.
What about the Broncos?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that division is insane.
It is.
I mean, it is.
And then you got Pete Carroll and Geno Smith with the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, that's a seven win. That's got seven wins written all over it, doesn't it?
It feels that way, yeah.
That whole operation out there. And the Broncos were really impressive last year. Their defense, Bo Nix, his efficiency. Sean Payton, you understand, he's a maniac. He's going to have him right there. Three teams are going to be in the playoffs in that division.
All right, so what do you think about the AFC East?
Again, by the way.
Buffalo, for sure.
Yep. I think Miami's going to have a miserable year, and they're going to fire Mike McDaniel. I think that the Jets are going to have a six-win season at most, and I think the Patriots are in the eight range.
Right, so maybe one of the most important hires in the AFC East has to be Josh McDaniels back at offensive coordinator for New England.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, hopefully he gets the best out of Drake May and allows Mike Vrabel to really just coach the team and not have to worry about the offense. I kind of felt like that was Bill Belichick, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let me coach the team and I'll really hammer the defense part of it, but I'll get in the face of the quarterback if I need to.
Yeah, I mean, and things were really never the same for Bill after he's, you know, trying to figure out, you know, he's bringing in...
Cam Newton?
No. But yes, but I was talking about, like, he had the combination of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge running the offense.
It was a
nightmare after McDaniels.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's... Bill's obviously not there, but it's a stability thing for Vrabel as well. I mean, when you look at that coaching staff compared to... See how it plays out, but... You know, what the Patriots did with their staff is what I wanted the Jets to do with their staff. Now, I don't think Vrabel was available to them. I think that Vrabel used the Jets to get the Patriots to fire Gerard Mayo. But that's what I wanted to see, people with experience coaching the team. And you just don't have that with the Jets.
Well, you don't have it. On offense, you don't have it. And you don't have it at the head coaching or GM position. But you got to start somewhere. And if it is true that Aaron Glenn is speaking with Bill Parcells on a weekly basis, and Aaron seems to be carrying himself like that as a coach, a very strong-willed coach, in-your-face coach, locking everything up over there, there's been no leakage whatsoever.
No leakage.
You haven't had any leakage. I mean, it is locked up.
Yep, I would agree. Know,
and I would say that's part of the issue. Or had been part of the issue with the Jets. But I do think that, you know, Aaron's going to make it a tough, competitive camp, which is what they need.
Let's go to Flavio in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's going on, Flavio? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great, Flavio. What do you got for us today?
You know, I've been listening for the last 2 days. I've been listening. First of all, congratulations on being the Northeast champions of the Golf Digest tournament.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Unbelievable. And happy to have you guys represent us in this area. And if your management and advertising team don't realize this easy money grab for them, you guys should be down there. Whether you tee off at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, shotgun start, whatever it is, you put your headsets on, you got to make sure, boom, you got to make sure you invite Jerry, please.
Oh, Jesus. I know. And, it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
God.
And so... You go down there, you got your headsets on, boom. If you tee off, then you got Geo on the headset. You guys are doing the NFL, but we're following you on the course. You're only going to be playing for 2 hours. When you get off, then you got Sal and BT, and then you have updates. And you got advertising sales on the golf updates. This is easy money for management. You guys got to get down there. It's a no-brainer.
I'm telling you, Flavio, I think you're on to something.
Yeah, you're speaking really my language, Flavio.
I mean, maybe you want to come in here and run sales.
Yeah.
Let's go. I've been doing it for 40 years, sales and marketing.
It sounds like it, I know. I mean, you know what? The fact that you have a background in there does not surprise me at all at the way that you're laying it out for us. Hey, sounds good to me. Really does. I know that there's many people scrambling. I know Chris Mercadante took like 6 months off.
Yeah.
And he's finally back today.
Oh, is that who was in here?
Yeah, I know. He looks different. I know.
Yeah, he looks different. Looks like he put on a little weight.
he's like, why does everybody keep asking, you know, where have you been? I'm like, because you haven't been here. I mean, you know, I understand the guy's not all that sharp, but I mean, at least try to figure that out. But yeah, so like guys like him, I know, are tripping all over themselves today trying to figure out how to make this work. But
Big Intern's about to have a marketing degree. You think he can figure this out?
Oh, yeah. I think Big Intern could muscle his way into anything. That's what I think.
He could put this whole trip together before he goes back to school.
All 7'5" of them make this thing happen. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the first hurdle has been cleared, which was getting Daddy on board. It's the reason we call it Dad. Boomer does this thing with, like, you know, I don't know. He'll say, Daddy looks good today, or Daddy's putter's working, or whatever. Like, that's where it comes from. We're not being weird about it. That's
right.
It's a joke, like, that he'll say on the golf course. But
well, yeah, I used to do that at the NFL Today every Sunday morning.
Right.
I'd walk in, and I'd look at Nate, and I go, Daddy looks good today, doesn't he?
It's one of the first things interns are taught. Boomer likes everybody to call him Daddy.
But anyway, so first thing was getting Boomer to buy in, you know, wanting to go there. I think that he's more amenable to that now. And, yeah, it's just now it's trying to make sure that we're on the air on Monday.
Oh, I'm looking at this red course flyover.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
It's a top 100 course, by the way.
Holy God. Well, of course, any Coore Crenshaw golf course is going to be thought that way. Those guys, I'm telling you, I remember I was a charter member of Sand Hills in Nebraska. Yeah. A buddy of mine was the money behind it. And he said, hey, you want a membership? I said, how much is it? He goes, like, $1,500. I'm like,
wow.
I'm in.
Jesus.
Or whatever it was. But, I visited out there 4 or 5 times. And I think that was their first golf course that they built in the country.
Oh,
it was in the mid-90s.
Wow.
And it's all the way up in the northwest corner of Nebraska. And the northwest corner of Nebraska looks almost exactly like the southern fork of Long Island.
Okay.
It's sand dunes everywhere.
Huh.
There's no water, but there's sand dunes everywhere. It's kind of like going to Sand Valley, you know, where they, Coore Crenshaw has a golf course there as well. And it feels very much like every one of these feel like Friar's Head.
Yeah.
And so does Cabot Cliffs up in Nova Scotia. Feels just like you're playing at, you know, on these golf courses that, you know, these world-class designers have come up with, architects have come up with. It was like playing a Gil Hans course, Reese Jones course, any one of these great architects of, you know, the last 25 years build these beautiful places. This place is amazing.
It is. We could be there representing New York as the champion.
You know what? I consider myself like a golf elitist in this regard.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, I got an over and under for you guys.
Over under?
And if Connor and Fleegs wants to play this over under game, you guys can. So let's start with the New York Mets, okay? So they've already added one reliever, okay, and that's Soto. And do you think by the end of the trade deadline tomorrow that the Mets will add three or more players or less than
no,
three?
No, you know what you say. You got to do a half.
Three.
Half.
What?
2.5 or 3.5.
All right, not counting Soto.
Do, so do 2.5.
So 2.5 over under for the Mets.
You're saying 2.5 more, we're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say under. It's going to be 2.
You're going to say 2.
I'm going to go over 3.
Okay.
I'm going to say under.
Okay, Connor, yeah.
I'll take the under.
You take the under. Okay, now for the Yankees, they've already added 2. So now, what do we think from this point? I'm going to give you 2.5 again.
Under. 1.
Under. I think the number should be set at 1.5.
Oh, you want to say 1.5? All right, I'll say 1.5 then. There
yeah.
You go.
Under.
Over.
I'll say over. I think they get 2.
Under.
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say over for the Mets and over for the Yankees.
Oh, wow. A lot of action.
I do, you know, especially if you go by what all the baseball, you know, insiders are talking about in terms
what
of
are
the
they talking about?
But I also think, like, when you have both teams have spent a ton of money, much like the Dodgers, and they're trying to fix their issues, deal with their injuries, and try to lengthen their lineup or lengthen their bullpen. That's why I think they're both going to be really active. And no, and really, quite frankly, I don't necessarily know there's a better guy out there than Brian Cashman finding some relief pitcher off of some team that we haven't even thought about and bringing him in, and all of a sudden he becomes effective.
Yeah, well, they definitely need it. Both teams, of course, in the mix here and wanting to improve. I got a guest list for tomorrow now. Updated guest list.
Is it over under 2?
No, it is not. But it's a good one. I'm excited about this. You ready?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston will be joining us tomorrow, 6:15. Russell Wilson will be joining us tomorrow.
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, we're going to have to. I have to ask him about that.
Of course you do.
I can't not.
Let's ride.
Playing it 10 million times. Let's ride, baby. Yeah, 6:45 for Russell Wilson.
Let's ride.
Sexy Dexy will be joining us. Dexter Lawrence.
Nice.
Never had a chance to interview him, actually. All three of these guys I've never interviewed. 7:15, Brian Daboll, old news. I've interviewed him 4 times. No, kidding. We like Brian Daboll. He always gives us a great interview. 7:30, and then Javon Holland, free agent safety from the Dolphins. Now with the Giants, of course, will be 8:15. So very, very exciting stuff. I really, really wanted to talk to those top three guys, Jameis Russell and Dexter Lawrence. So that's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow.
That would have been nice to have Jackson or Abdul Carter.
Yeah, well, the afternoon show is going to be there, and they'll probably have those guys.
Oh, okay.
So we had to split it up just a little bit, but we're both going to be there that day. And I'm excited for the guys that we got. 2 quarterbacks, you know?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey. Yankees Rays last night, and an interesting night for one Anthony Volpe.
What was that?
I don't know.
All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies.
What is that?
It's all the single ladies.
I know what it is. I don't know why it's in my
file. Why would you have Beyonce in there?
I don't know. Let's try this one.
And a pitch from Kelly. Okay. Swung on and driven to deep right center field. Got all kinds of carry. Giddy up, baby. Gone! A home run, Anthony Volpe. It's 7-4, New York.
I apologize to CBS Sports Network. The first one was supposed to be the RBI single, but somehow this ended up in the file.
I like it. I like this better.
After so strange.
All morning, yes.
All the songs. Wow. That was weird. Anyway, he had the RBI single, which you saw on TV, then had the home run later in the game. Yankees beat the Rays 7-5. That said, he also had the error early, the error late. Here was Volpe post-game talking about the fielding issues.
Yeah, no, I never really experienced something like this, but you got really good guys around me, and I know, I mean, I consider myself, I know what I'm capable of, so...
So he's got to get better at it. Cody Bellinger did hit a game-tying 3-run homer in this game in the third. What's the matter?
I'm just watching Jazz Chisholm's reaction. He's like, what the hell are you doing? That's what it looked like. He didn't say that, but it just looked like, oh, my God. This is one of those moments in a game. He makes a nice play, too. That's the thing. Yeah. And he rushed it.
By the way, you have, speaking of facial reactions and things that you can see or lip reading. So after the show, because I didn't see this, and then I was alerted to it by Big Hurls, but Pete Alonso, after the Bozapan thing, you know, his mouth, you could see him, and they put the camera on him. He goes,
get the F over. Good for him.
And by the way, guess who was let go yesterday? Brazabond.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we know it's, you know,
so there you go. Already. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. So that's interesting. Maybe Pete's a little more of a leader than we thought. Get his ass out of here.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew is right.
Who knew? Here was Bellinger on his three-run homer.
Honestly, he's got really, really nasty stuff. A lot of guys had a lot of good ABs in front of me. I think it was Wells and Ben Rice, and had a few guys on base there. And, you know, honestly, just didn't try to do too much and just try to put my best swing on the ball.
And here was Max Fried talking about just the impact that Bellinger has had and how good he's been.
This team?
Oh, he's been incredible, you know, just... If he's not doing something with the bat, he's doing something with the glove at, you know, any of the four positions that he plays, and he plays it at such a high level. He impacts the, you know, the game on both sides of the ball.
Fried, by the way, did get the win. He allowed four runs over 6 2/3, moves the Yankees back to 9 games over .500, now 4 games within Toronto for the AL East lead as the Blue Jays lost twice to the Orioles yesterday, 16-4 and 3-2. You've got Will Warren making the start tonight on the Fan at 7:05, and it looks like, speaking of making a start, Luis Gil did quite well and should be starting Sunday against the Marlins. And you know what that's like, Boomer, right around the trade deadline.
Yes, it's like acquiring a new player.
That's exactly
it's perfect.
Right. Yes.
Now, exactly. That does not count as part of the over-under that we just had.
It does not.
No.
I would agree.
Although you could technically say that it is, but...
No, technically you can't. They didn't trade for him.
That's true.
So, no. Mets Padres late last night. Mets were down 1-0.
It's like picking up a guy without trading for him.
Like an acquisition.
Guy. Somebody picks up Barbizon.
Yes. Barbizon.
And I'm sure he will get picked up by somebody if he hasn't been already. Here was the Mets scenario. They're down a run, top of the fifth, couple of walks and a base hit. Bases loaded, nobody out, set up for a huge inning with Lindor. It was supposed to be Tyrod Taylor who came into the game for Juan Soto, who left the game after fouling a ball off his foot, and then Pete Alonso, and the results were less than spectacular.
2-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and for the third time tonight, Lindor struck out. Hit high in the air to center. Merrill moving in. Beatty tags. It's Tatis who makes the catch in front of Merrill. Fires home. Beatty sprints home to score. Popped him up on the infield toward the mound, behind the mound. Cronenworth comes down, makes the two-hand catch, and the inning is over.
One lousy run with the bases loaded and nobody out, and then the bullpen imploded essentially, and the Padres beat the Mets 7-1. The game was capped off by Manny Machado.
Swung on and crushed. Left field and deep. Nimmo's just a spectator. It goes off the ribbon board in left. A three-run bomb for Manny Machado.
And that was Keith Radd or Pat McCarthy, I'm not sure, on Mets Odyssey Radio. But that capped it. 7-1 was the final score. Elias Diaz, a two-run double in the seventh, a big blow in this game as well. Here was Carlos Mendoza first talking about Buto's night. We heard Frank the Tank called it ass. This is Carlos Mendoza.
He got two outs and then unlucky that chopper that went over Pete's head. They take the lead. And then he just got ahead on Iglesias and then left a pitch, a breaking ball, you know.
It wasn't good. And the one that went over his head,
I mean,
turned out to be the Jackson Merrill triple.
Right. Dubensky was the one that gave up the home run to Machado.
Correct. But that thing but Buto was terrible.
That thing was on a...
Clobbered it.
Oh, man.
Clobbered it. Here was Soto in terms of the injury, fouling the ball off his foot. I know I've said all morning he didn't seem, you know, alarmed by it. This was how he described it.
No, I think it's going to be good. I think we're going to be good. We just got to get the swelling down. Whenever it's swelling down, I think we're going to be fine. I mean, the x-rays are negative, so it's a good sign. So we just got to wait for the swelling to come down and go back to where, man.
And they made the point on the broadcast. Taylor was in the lineup in that spot, but they went to Marte, who got the sac fly, because they kind of felt like it might be their only opportunity to score, given the Padres' bullpen situation and how good they are. You've got a day game today at 4:10. Clay Holmes and Yu Darvish, the starters. Mets now lead the Phillies by a half game atop the NL East. The Phillies beat the White Sox by the score of 6-3. You've got the trade deadline at 6 p.m. tomorrow. At Jed's camp, Justin Fields met the media. This is not long after we left here, of course, on Thursday. You and Phil talked about it on Friday, the whole toe situation. Here's Fields, how he feels he's done since returning from the injury.
I think I've been all right. You know, I think, you know, I'm always going to say there's room to improve. Like I said, today, you know, the offense as a whole, you know, we didn't start off great. I think we, like I said, I think we finished off great. But like I said, we want to start fast, finish fast, and, of course, maintain that in between as well.
Hey, Melissa, it's the same thing for him as Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. He's got to learn a new offense. And it just so happens that their first game is against a 34 defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a pain in the ass from a quarterback's perspective because, you know, it's like 70% of the league is a four-man front. It's a little bit easier to read the defensive blitzing and things of that nature. And when you're playing the 34 and the way that they configure their 34 defense and how difficult it is, it's a pain in the neck getting ready for it. So, you know, learning a new offense, new offensive coordinator, new players – there's going to be some growing pains for sure.
Here's Garrett Wilson. A lot of people have talked about how camp has gone so far. Here was Wilson on the vibes.
Yeah, just the competitiveness. Not just talking about being competitive. Like, no. You got to train that way. It's got to feel like that at practice. It's got to feel like if you lose, it sucks at practice. It can't just be, we'll turn it on when the game comes, right?
All right, so that's an interesting comment. Love it. Because love now, it. And that was courtesy of SNY, now I bring you Quinnen Williams, who sat down with Kay Adams yesterday, and she specifically asked him what has been different. So a little bit of a longer clip.
This is probably my first time ever in my career where I had live periods in practice, unless it was a scrimmage. And seeing that, and he just brought the team up. I was like, hey, we're going to go live. I need you guys to trust me that this process is going to take us to better places and have us do better. And I've been a part of live practices at Bama, and I know, like, yo, I know exactly how this look. I know exactly how this is about to turn out.
All right, so then he kind of paused, and then he mentioned about the message to the
team. So they're
going
to win the Super Bowl? Is that what he said?
Well, no, but it seems like they're going to be a better run football team.
But I told you, this was this whole thing about Aaron Glenn is going to make it more competitive, more physical, more demanding. Nobody's going to get pats in the backs when they make mistakes. They're going to get coached up. They're going to be told what they're doing wrong, and they're going to expect to get it right the next time. And they're going to be fighting for positions. And, you know, I love hearing that from Quinnen Williams. I certainly love hearing it, you know, from Justin Fields and everybody else that's over there, because that's exactly what they need. And that's just the basic fundamentals of the game of football. We have to be tougher. We have to be more disciplined. And Aaron Glenn talked about that, too. We were the most penalized team in the league last year. That's got to stop. And those are all the little things that a coach can do and have impact on immediately, is making the team tougher, making them more competitive, more accountable, and more disciplined. Simple.
Speaking of production, here's Tyrone Tracy at Giants camp and having Scatabo with him and the 1-2 punch that those two can now provide.
The man's strong and powerful. I'm more slippery and elusive. But at the same time, like, we both can catch at the backfield. Like, we both can pass protect. So it's not like, you know, when Cam comes in, we're running the ball downhill. Nah, he can do really anything, just like I can do really anything.
And now a big part of them doing anything will be how the guys block up front. Of course, protect the quarterback as well. We heard from Evan Neal a lot yesterday. How goes it up front?
I think we're meshing great. We're going out there and we're busting our ass every day. We're rallying, alongside one another when it gets tough. So that's always exciting to see, because when the offensive line is coming together up front, that's a great indication of a good performance on offense.
We shall see if the offensive line is a topic.
Yeah, I don't know, but Cam Scatabo's helmet looks huge.
Well, he's got that thing on the top of it.
No, not that. The initial one where he wasn't having the pad on the top.
Why is it Scatabo when it's just one O?
I don't know. That's how he pronounces it. I don't know.
Hmm.
Good question. Maybe he's got a big head.
I call him Marzipan.
You could. And then one other note from the NFL. Browns cornerback Martin Emerson Jr. carted off the field during Tuesday's practice. He suffered an Achilles injury. Not sure if it's a tear or what, but certainly did not look good for him. And you've got Trey Hendrickson. I imagine by this point he is reported, but by all accounts he was going to report today despite not having a new contract just yet. All right, time now for what we call Moment of the Day. And a marital aid was thrown out onto the court of WNBA game last night, and the announcers did not find it all that amusing at all.
And no one's picked the object up yet. You guys, no. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh.
Okay.
Well, you were there.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
If you were there with your two daughters, how would you feel?
I wouldn't show up. They'd be like, what's that, Daddy? But like, I don't know. It's just some idiot threw something on the court. Cucumber. And then I'd be like, I text all my friends. Can you believe they threw a dildo on the court? Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
What I don't remember is how that was handled in Buffalo. What the Patriot announcement
said. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Marital aid? Is that what they say?
That's what Joe calls it.
Marital aid? But that play-by-play woman was probably like, man, this is... What a week for Sidney Sweeney, American Eagle, and now this dildo's on the court. This world's coming to hell.
I suppose so. Anyway, that was last night or the night before. I don't know. That was Fubo TV. Trey Hendrickson.
Dildo.com.
It was not. That's not where it was. You think there was one of those?
Oh, of course there is. It was probably a dildo.gov.
That needs to be addressed.
Come on.
Jesus. Dildo of the day.
And there's your government official.
There's enough of them. Come on.
Moment of the day, guys.
Oh, man. I love a good dildo segment, huh, Jerry?
Do you want a big dick?
That's pretty good right there.
From your bushes.
All right. Very good, Jerry.
See you tomorrow.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Going to be a busy day tomorrow, trade deadline day, and then we'll be out at Giants camp. And I don't anticipate, you know, a lot of these things happen more in the afternoon. It's a 6 p.m. trade deadline, so we'll be there if there's any breaking news. If there's not, we'll be waiting on it, and we'll be talking to some Giants players and getting ready for another football season.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. And, you know, the one thing about the trade deadline, things can happen between now and tomorrow morning as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of those things start happening. It sounds like there are so many teams that feel like they have a chance that it really, I mean, it's been active already, but I would think it would be even significantly more active over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of teams, just like, you know, baseball is prone to do, has a lot of teams with a lot of money in the mix, you know, with the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies. Like, that's what you're going to see, is those teams be very active. You know, in the National League, you got these powerhouse teams with a ton of money that want to separate themselves.
Well, I mean, listen, you got Chicago now is in the mix. The Cubs are, you know, they've been kind of down over the last, 8 or 9 years?
Yep.
So they are a big money team that is back in it, and they feel like they have a real shot here in the National League. I think everybody thinks that the Dodgers are vulnerable. I personally think San Diego's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but, you know, we were saying the same thing last year, at least I was.
But San Diego plays the Dodgers tough, man.
No, I know. But I remember going into the NLCS, you know, after the Mets beat the Phillies, and thinking that the Dodgers might even be a better matchup for the Mets than the Padres were. And I was wrong about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that the Dodgers do have, and we saw it in all of its glory last year, they have some clutch players that come through. And they have a couple players that haven't had great years and have and been injured. I mean, they've dealt with a ton of injuries. So if they get healthy, you know, you're talking about mid-August to late September, you know, they'll be right there. They will be right there at the top.
And I'm just totally dismissing the Brewers when I shouldn't be. But I just am. I don't know why. I just don't feel like this is a team that ever makes any noise in the playoffs.
You feel like they're the National League version of the Twins?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But just like they're, you know, when any time that they're playing well, I just never take them seriously. And that's not fair, but I should. I should take them seriously, but I don't. And after beating them, I know it took like, you know, every pitch to beat them last year.
What about the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, they like we mentioned, you know, for the majority of the season, they've been the best team. They hit that big slump. They got the best pitcher. You know, they got some experience now. You know, they're not just like that up-and-coming team any longer. So, yeah. But, I mean, and for the Yankees, you know, last year they were clearly the best team in their league. And now they're clearly not.
Well, last year they had Juan Soto, and last year they had Gerrit Cole. He was healthy. This year they got Fried. Heel should be back. And you know, Brian Cashman, he's already made two moves, and I do believe he's going to make at least two more.
Yeah.
Well, I said over, so I'll say three more.
Three more. Yeah, I think I'm going one more for the Yankees and two for the Mets. That's what I'll say. And it may not even be the big ones that we're looking at. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, are you going to be going crazy if they get Luis Robert Jr.? I mean, come on.
No, but I know that would make Fleegs' day. But for me, you know, we all know what the issues are. The issues are center field. They got three third basemen, and they got to get a couple more relievers. The relievers are kind of running out of gas.
Yeah, I mean, like Fleegs knows so much more sports than he's probably forgotten more than I've learned over the years. But like he's had some odd takes recently. Like, you know, this Robert Jr. take that he's dying for this guy, and then also he wanted Matt Nagy to be the head coach of the Jets.
Yeah, then he took away his Jet fandom or something
like
that.
Yeah, he's got
that.
Some, I mean, guy.
That's a weird kind of thing.
This guy's like a sports encyclopedia in there. He comes up with some of these weird
ass
takes.
Did he give up his Jets fandom or something?
He did, yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Well, can you blame him?
If Taylor Swift puts out a couple bad albums, is he just going to give up on her too?
No.
Well, one, that would never happen. Two, no.
Let's see. I'm with Fleas. You got to defend like your favorite things. You got to defend all the time.
Well, one of his favorite things should be the Jets.
It made him feel more like crap than good.
Yeah, but I feel
like all the older Jets fans in my life, my dad, you know, Joe, like guys like Tom Keenan, like I can't do this with the Jets for the next 40 years.
Yeah,
like,
I know the quarterback situation isn't.
Yeah, they don't have one.
Well, they have an athletic quarterback, somebody that will do something for, you know, that you have not seen in a long time, and that is actually get first downs with his legs.
You know the thing I want to see them do that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm out because I don't think they're going to do it? Win.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about that, too. Like, you know, it's like, but I don't know if you're like me. I mean, the prime of my sports fandom when it was like the only thing going on in my life. Like when I was like, that was my team. I didn't have wife, kids, anything else. Didn't have to worry about bills or whatever. Like that was the time I felt like I needed to get a championship. And this is why I get so mad at Joe sometimes, because Joe did get a championship. He got lots of championships during that time. He got two Knicks championships, a Mets championship, and a Jets championship in that prime of when he was a fan, like 16, 17 years old. I need another one. No. Give it one. That's all you get.
Hey, I had all of that in my childhood as well.
Yeah.
So it's one of the reasons why I really don't complain all that much, other than when I see mismanagement and instability.
Yeah.
Which the Mets and the Jets have had plenty of.
Yeah.
And so have the Giants, for that matter.
Loose ends, what you don't like.
Ugh.
You sniff out some loose ends, and you're like, "This is we gotta fix this whole deal."
You know, I was thinking about Dan Campbell's first year in, if you remember, in Detroit, they lost 11 games in a row. They started out 0-11, I think.
Yeah, and that was they beat the Minnesota Vikings for their first win, and that was the famous video of when Christine Goff, whatever Harper was her maiden name, was dancing around on the beach when they found out that they
finally won. Yeah, she was doing this Sports Illustrated swimsuit model shoot.
Yes. And they said, the Lions won. She was like, oh, my God.
Put her in some American Eagle outfit. Hey, by the way, so they were 3-13-1.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like it's not unrealistic to think that the Jets could have that type of year.
Well, of course not. They got a 4.5 over under number.
And if they do, then they're at the top of the draft next year. And I think everybody would be, it'd be hard. That would be hard for Aaron Glenn and his coaching staff. It would be hard for the fans. But it would also give them an opportunity to maybe select their quarterback of the future if they do have a year kind of like Detroit had back then. And remember, Detroit hit on a lot of first-round draft picks.
And I tell you, man, selecting quarterbacks at the top of the draft, some of the Jets have done extremely well
but
over there.
You can't stop it. I know.
Obviously, shots on goal, I get it. But still, nobody's done a worse. The Browns or the Jets have done the worst job of that in all of the league.
Well, the Browns have, you know, they have basically shot themselves in the foot I don't know how many times.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.